Our scripture reading this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word from your servant, Paul, but honestly, he gave it from you by your Spirit. So open the eyes of our hearts, we would see Jesus today. And teach us what it means to be comforted by you, what it means to be comfort givers through you, and what it means to receive that word in the midst of great struggle and suffering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your scripture and you would like to follow along, we'll be looking at the first chapter of 2 Corinthians today. And I just want to share a word on comfort from God this week. Sometimes I sense that we don't usually put together a message like this unless there's been some great tragedy or something going on in the community, and that's not the case today. But every now and then I'm reminded, and I pray that this word is for you today, that as followers of Christ, we are called to carry great burdens, but we're also called to be comfort bearers as well. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is our comforter today. And it seems like when I thought about it this week in my own life, the greatest lessons that I learned, the deeper lessons, if you will, the ones that matter the most, the lessons where I learned the most about God and myself are the ones where I've been driven to my knees. The ones that are more difficult to walk through. It's the difficult and painful times of life where the deepest lessons seem to come from. Now, we will all face them one way or the other. We will all face circumstances, but our responses are varied whenever we are going through those situations. So with that in mind, today I would offer at least two things to think about as a wise response. As someone following faithfully after the Lord's guidance and leading, a wise way to respond when you find yourself in the midst of struggle and suffering and affliction is to ask, first of all, God, what are you saying to me in the midst of this? And then secondly, to look for ways that God wants to work in your life through the situation and ask, God, what is your purpose in the midst of my difficulty? Because sometimes I think our natural response is to try to find a way out of it rather than recognizing that maybe there's a reason for it. And so it's not an easy one, but I think that this is the right response. God, what are you up to in the midst of this storm, if you will, this thing, this struggle, this tension? And that's where Paul is coming from. Now, I could share several other messages just from this one section in context of what Paul is dealing with, but I don't want to go that way today. Paul's response of offering himself as a comfort to others is in the midst of being pushed away and pushed out of the circle of the church that he brought into being. So there's, in the midst of great suffering, Paul had a choice. He could have either clammed up, turned in on himself, he could have retaliated, but he chose neither of those. What he chose was to open his heart to the situation, and out of that, he became a comfort to others who were struggling and suffering. See, those who respond that way find that there's a reason that God brings certain things into our lives. Now, those who do not respond this way by asking God, what are you up to, go through life miserable and undone and seeking other answers and other means to find out why they're going through what they're going through. Sometimes, in fact, I may argue today, most of the time, we will never know why certain circumstances come into our lives. But we can trust and we can believe that it's for a purpose. You know, even in saying that, earlier this morning, Job pops into my head and I'm thinking, that's the kind of the epitome of it. You know, no one would expect someone like Job to suffer. He was the righteous man, and yet he did. And so sometimes, even though we never know why these things come into our lives, it helps us to get through them by recognizing that God may have a deeper purpose in a hurtful situation in your life, even now. Let me back up again and share from the scripture that Dee has already read to us this morning, just for context, and to hear once again what Paul is saying in the first verse 3. He says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Let me put my finger there for a moment and stop and say, don't miss Paul's description. He says all comfort. He doesn't necessarily say all mercies, but I think we could lump that in, that any mercies, any comfort that you and I truly receive come from God alone. And when people will search and seek for comfort and mercies in other places. But Paul is saying here, for the one who trusts that God is good all the time and the one who trusts that God is leading his people all the time, he hasn't stopped from day one. God is the only one that can bring comfort and mercy. And then he goes on this way: "Who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." Now, folks, once again, when I'm reading something in Scripture, if there's something repeated, it catches my attention. If it's repeated 10 times, it means something. And so in these five verses, Paul uses a form of that word comfort in one way or the other 10 times. He's getting a point across to the community there that you can do this in the midst of whatever's going on in your life. If you walk through it with God's Spirit leading you on the other side, you get to be a conduit to pass comfort on to others. If anyone knew what God's comfort was, it was Paul. If anyone knew what it meant to suffer for the Lord, it was Paul. And so the question becomes, what do we mean by comfort? Because my initial reaction when I was reading it earlier this week, and my 21st century Western culture mind pictures a nice lazy boy with a thing on the side to help put my feet up and a blanket over me and a pillow and just the right temperature, and that's comfortable. And silence with a book, if need be, that's where I go. But the reality is, in the Old Testament, it primarily meant to encourage. And in fact, I would encourage you, as you have time in your quiet time alone with the Lord, take time. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 as a devotional reminder of the care that God gives and comfort to his people. And it's a wonderful chapter to pray through and to see how God is the giver of comfort through all times. Let's take a moment and consider John chapter 14 in context. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. This is a chapter where he is taken away from his disciples, but right before that happens, in the midst of this dark and heavy experience, Jesus is not fretting, or he's not trying to get as many things done before the clock ticks down. He's giving words of comfort to his disciples as his time here will end in the physical sense. But in verse 16, he tells them this: "I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper," or the comforter. And Jesus says that with purpose, and then later on in verse 26, he gives a little description and says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things." See, when you and I accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we need help. We're not doing this thing alone, and God promises to send us a helper in the midst of all of our life's challenges, not just to kind of be out there, but He is in us. He is with us. He is above us. He is before us. He is upon us. And the reason, why would God do that? Well, the reason being today that I just said we are going to need help. We are a people that will need help. He will help us by teaching us. He will guide us. He will encourage us. He will watch over us. He will lead us. The presence of the Holy Spirit is an awesome thing in the life of the believer. And the one that he is noted for in this text that Paul is speaking of is to help encourage and comfort you and I and those that he was writing to in the church. Now, some may say, you know, when I'm going through the tough times, when things are just bearing down and I can't see any way out of it and it's too difficult, I don't feel at all like God's around. In fact, there have been times whenever I'm just crying out, "Lord, are you even there? Hello, is anybody listening?" And the reality with that is that the truth is that feelings come and feelings go. My feelings will be one way in one minute and another way the next. And so my feelings are not an actual indicator of whether God's Spirit is near me or not. The truth is, as Scripture says, the Spirit is within me. And He never leaves me, and He never forsakes me. And no matter what I go through, no matter what you go through, you cannot go through it alone if you trust Jesus as Lord. So He's always there. He's always providing. And that's the promise, not of something I've made up, but the promise of this word, that He's always there. That's the promise and the seal. Once you go to the cross, repenting, asking forgiveness, you are sealed as a child of God. And He stays with you, and He walks with you, and He talks with you, as the song tells us. In the garden, He is there. And so the true source of comfort in this life that we live is Almighty God. In affliction, which is a word that's often used in the New Testament and even possibly in parts of the Old Testament, but in afflictions, which are the most painful situations in life, God desires to comfort you. You have a choice to trust in this, but you and I don't have any choice as to whether we'll suffer or not. That's a given. In one form or fashion, it will come and it will happen. This life, Jesus made that statement. We will experience those kinds of things, but do not give up hope, He says, for I am with you through the midst of that experience. See, we don't have a choice, but our choice is this, how we respond to it when we're in the midst of it. We may never know why it happens in the first place, but if God has a purpose in it, I can gather it's for this. It's to shape you. It's to strengthen you. It's to form faith in you. It's to build you up. It's to make us useful for the kingdom of God. I profit if I correctly respond to the situation by asking that question, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Lord, what's the purpose of this? And if I selfishly respond wrong, I miss the blessings of God. I like thinking in those terms as I was thinking of this earlier this week. You know, sometimes our blessings come in the most unusual sort of ways. Some of you may be familiar. A few years ago, there's an artist named Laura Story that wrote a song called Blessings, and I know it's meant a lot to my wife for the last couple of years, but one of the verses says simply, "'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights is what it takes to know that you are near? What if trials of this life are your mercies?" There's that word that Paul opened with. What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom in your voice to hear. Sometimes when God is speaking, it may be through the most difficult situations. And we may groan about it, but is God upset with my groaning? I don't think so. I don't think that my wrong feelings bother God at all. In fact, the question is, do I trust his hand in the midst of the struggle? As things are going on and coming down and the pressure is on, do I trust in the midst of that that God has a purpose because I'm his child and he's allowed this thing to enter into my existence? So if I believe the Spirit of God is in me, and he is, and if I believe that he's allowing this for his purpose, and he is, then I just ask that, Lord, you give me the strength and the power to stand the test, stay the course, face the struggle head on to enable me to experience it and almost to be polished, if you will, to have those rough edges taken off. Not just so I can be impressive to others, but so I can reflect his very image and begin to sound like him and to look like him to those around me. So the next big question would be not what comfort is, but how does God comfort us? If you're going through a difficult time, a difficult experience, no matter what it is, maybe even in this moment here today, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, someone has hurt you deeply, you're suffering the hardest sort of thing that you can imagine and you don't see a way through it, what's the wisest thing to do right now? Well, God says, now, in the book of Psalms, we find in the longest psalm, which is Psalm 119, verse 50, David goes to the Lord, just, he is so transparent. Anytime he goes and he speaks or prays one of these psalms, these prayers, he says in verse 50, this is my comfort and my affliction that your word has revived me. This is my comfort and my affliction that your word has revived me. The first place to turn whenever we're in the midst of the struggle or the storm is not to a friend, though friends are good to have, and there's nothing innately wrong with that, but the first place to turn is to the Word of God, and which is another reason for us to know God's Word today. What a beautiful set of prayers is found throughout the book of Psalms, and in fact, a couple of times in the recent past this year, I've directed more than one person who's going through something heavy, and I've said, you know, there are certain times that I can say to someone when I'm ministering with them or a family and say, I know exactly what you're going through because I've been there. But then there are other times when I cannot honestly say that. I've never lost my mother. I've never lost my father. I've never lost immediate family members to cancer, but I've walked with people who have. And so in those times, I can say, I'm praying for you. I care, but I can't say I understand that. But if you take these psalms and pray these, I know God's got a word for you. And more than once, I've seen people take it and be blessed and touched by it and receive comfort from it. And so, this is my comfort in my affliction, David says, that your word has revived me. Throughout the Psalms, David pours out his heart being brutally honest because he is full of the very Spirit that gave guidance to write this text in the first place. The Spirit inspired the Word, the same Spirit that David was crying out with in his own spirit. So there was a connection and a trusting in the Spirit, and God is to be trusted in the midst of it all. So throughout the Psalms, you will find hundreds of wonderful responses of God. Just this one verse today speaks volumes to me, as David says, this is my comfort in affliction. This is my comfort in anything that comes my way that I don't know how to handle. Your word has revived me. Now, when David says that, you know, I'm being crushed on all sides, but your word has revived me, someone needs that word here today. Or either needs to know it to pass it on to someone else, as Paul said, so that you can comfort those who are suffering with the same comfort that you've been given by God when you were in the midst of your storm, to pass that comfort on because you've walked that way. Whatever you are carrying, know that word that God has a word of comfort for you. If nothing else, did you get what David said? The word of God revives us. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean that this word of God can revive us? Well, It seems like, first of all, it can give us a new outlook. For something that seemed dead end, it can open up a door that wasn't even there in the first place. It can give us a new spirit, a new sense of confidence and assurance, a new energy to pick it up and try it again, whatever is going on in our lives. He inspired this very word. So God has the Holy Spirit living in you, David. So when you spoke that word, it brought life to a situation that was otherwise spiritually dead. Now, I'm sure some here, if we survey today, know exactly what I mean. That in the right time, in the right moment, in the right circumstances, God gave a word to you and came to you and brought healing and brought comfort and brought hope and brought assurance. So know this, God speaks personally to his children to encourage them through his word today. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it, how we need it. Now let me make a caveat here that I'm not going to ascribe to you just throwing it wide open and closing your eyes and picking a text and saying that's the one for me today, because sometimes that's more dangerous and deadly than helpful. But what I will say today is if you would pray this prayer, try this week, ask God to show you where to read. And I believe by his Spirit, whether audibly or not, will give you a word of encouragement to woo you in a direction of where to start. If you don't know, go to the Psalms and start there and start praying through some of those Psalms that have hundreds and hundreds of promises of comfort for you. And he'll speak a word to you in the midst of that. I know he will. He knows where the match is for your need in his word today. And when you have the counselor of God, the Spirit of God living into you, living in you, he reveals his promises to you through this word and his direction for walking through whatever the pain, whatever the hurt, whatever the weight of the affliction is. Because hear it this way, and I hadn't really thought this through, but it's so true that those who speak in that scripture are the very ones who can say, been there, I've done it, I've lived it, I've walked it, and I've went on through it. Paul's the one that we're looking at today in 2 Corinthians. He gave a word not just out of mental understanding, but out of persecution and out of physical and spiritual struggles. And he said, because I've experienced the sufferings of Christ, I can offer you a comfort on the other side. If you walk through the sufferings of Christ with us, you will be able to be a comfort to others on the other side. King David, as I mentioned, take time to read through the Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote many of these Psalms with highs and lows and all of the emotions and spiritual struggles that anyone could face. And he was brutally honest before God. Sometimes he was the one going, where are you? And other times he was going, keep my enemies away. And another time, you are my rock and my salvation. And whom shall I fear? Because the Lord is the one that I stand upon. You bless me and you lead me in your way ever righteous. And we know one that we hear very often at the point of death. Yea, though I walk through valleys that are deep and dark, I have no fear because I know the one that is with me. And Jesus, of course, rejection and pain. There is a verse and a life behind each issue and experience that you and I will have in the scripture. And the declaration there is victory at the end of the day. It's not defeat. It is the word that revives his people. So these that I've lifted up did not run. They walked through. They embraced it. They endured it patiently until God decided to end it. And so Paul says today, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies and all comfort, so that you can be comforted in the midst of whatever life throws at you. Trusting with that fact this day as we come to the table to meet with our Lord, who has everything to offer for us. Let's pray. Lord, we simply just say thank you for being who you are, the comforter, for being the only one who can meet our needs, who can heal our brokenness, who can give us a purpose beyond ourselves, for being the one who picks us up when we stumble. When we walk in the dark, you are there to shine your light before us. When we feel lonely, you take our hand. And when we cannot hear anything, you speak to our heart. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you do for us. Oh God, we thank you for thinking of us when we did not think of you. And we thank you for never being late, always on time for every single need. And so may your Holy Spirit sink these truths in our hearts today. We would ask all of this in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.